anything to try to re-preach such a wonderful message from this morning. But when he turned there, I leaned over to where I was back in the sound booth and only missed that one slide. Man, I should have had that one. But I leaned over and I said, oh, that's where I was going to be tonight. But you stopped short of where I was going to be tonight. And so that must have been the Lord. Isn't it awesome how God does that? So stand with me as we read a few verses this evening. Philippians chapter 1. I want to say thank you to my friend Drake, who's down here. And he's sitting in the same row with my wife right here. He is a, he's stationed down at Fort Campbell. But in about 4 days, he's going down to Ranger School to get Ranger qualified at Fort Benning. Is that correct, Drake? I get all that right. And so if you would, lift him up in prayer. I met him back, I think you said in 2015. Is that right? And he's actually older than he looks, so you should know that, but I believe you were about 16 years old then, and we're close friends now, and to be praying for him, and appreciate his service to our country, and always glad when he can come up. He's been here one other time. I guess an hour and a half is just a little too far for him to drive for church every Sunday. I don't think it is, but he does, and so I'm glad that he's here tonight, and he got to kind of share his testimony with the teens up in the choir, or up in the teen room while the choir was going on tonight, and so I appreciated him doing that. Wanted to say thanks to him for coming up this evening. Philippians chapter 1, the Bible says in the first verse of the chapter, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he says in verse 3, and this is how I feel about our church tonight. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I think Paul said this from the perspective of having a long-distance relationship with the church at Philippi. I don't have a long-distance relationship with the church in Evansville, the Faithway Baptist Church, but I feel the same way. I thank God for this church. For those of you who aren't in here this morning, and many of you, when I say you weren't in here, you were working in a children's class, serving in the nursery, toddler ministry, and all that, and you deserve rewards in heaven for doing all that. Thank you for all of you who work so hard, especially on Sunday mornings. You don't understand how much it contributes even to the service in this room, and thank you for your ministry there. But I said this morning at the end of the service that this past week we had this whole place tore apart, and we took all the chairs out and put the tables and chairs here, and then we reset the chairs, just myself or Brother Ship and a few other guys who just came in here and kind of labored on the angles. And how many of you know I'm a chair guy? It matters a lot to me, okay? You're going to know. So got all these lines straight and that kind of thing. And I sat down right over here on the front row where Caleb is right here. He's the really tall one, by the way, and there's a bunch of them up here. Wasn't that awesome to see all of our young people standing this morning? And to see all of the potential in the room. But I sat down right there, and as I sat down, it was more for a rest, to get a breather, because I'm getting old. And I sat there, and something just came over me. And I sat down, and I looked at Brother John, and I said, I would love to attend this church. He said, well, you do attend it. No. If I were not a pastor, if I were not the pastor, if I were not a pastor, and if I were just doing what many of you do every week, faithfully serving the Lord, attending, giving, serving, I'd want to be in this church. Amen. I would want to be right here. And I don't get that perspective as much. And maybe you feel differently. I'm not saying that you should feel the same way I do. I just don't get that perspective as much because I'm up here. And for a moment, it was truly for me a moment of realization of just how blessed our church is. Not because I'm the pastor, not because you're the people, not because this is the building, and we thank God for the building and all that he's done. We had people in here this past week, more than you know, even beyond the Sportsman's Banquet, who came through this building and they said, wow, God has blessed you all. To which I said, he has. But beyond all of that, we know the church is not the building. I would want my family to be in this church with these people, with you people, with these Sunday school teachers and bus workers and nursery workers and toddler church workers and ushers and, yes, ushers and sound men and all of the different people and the folks who volunteer at all of these crazy events that your pastor comes up with. I thought I was going to lose my job when I announced we were going to eat in this room the other night, okay? But you went with it, and people were saved, and God blessed it. I'd want to be in this church. I thank God. when I think about all of the things that he's done for Faithway Baptist Church. And in verse 4, Paul continues, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Last night, Saturday evenings, this has kind of become my habit. I'm just at home doing something, playing with the kids or doing nothing even and just thinking. And occasionally, I don't have a list. I just wait for the Lord to put folks on my heart. I'll shoot them a text message or make a phone call and even if you don't answer, Dylan, I call and that kind of thing and leave a voicemail and that kind of thing. And, you know, all of the pastor's insecurities are at the top of his mind on a Saturday night, and some people don't help, okay? I'm just saying. And God's just been using that for me to just as a prayer time. Not deep in prayer, just as God brings folks to my mind. You. And it says in verse 5, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day into now. The verse this morning, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. And I thought about that this morning. We get a good look at the past on Anniversary Sunday, and we see where we've come from. And where we've come from is very important to remember, because in many ways that anchors us. I would ask you to do this, and for a minute I thought he was going to let the guys off the hook this morning. Anybody think he was not going to make the men stand? I did. I thought, oh boy, I was going to make you stand, okay? But just since we're all standing, you'll have to raise your hand, but how many of you started coming to Faithway Baptist Church or Bakey Row Baptist Church in the last 7 years since 2014 or newer? Raise your hand if that's you. It's a lot of people on a Sunday night. It's a lot of people. That's 70%, 60%, probably closer to 70. And we see where we need to have days like today, where we remember where God has brought us from. That little stucco building looked like it belonged in New Mexico or something down the southwest. And the house right next to it still looks the same. And according to them, I wasn't there. I'm not that old. But according to them, the floor was like this in that building, you know. And what God's brought us to, just our facility alone, is like, wow, praise the Lord. But then to see all these folks who have come to us, even in recent days, in the last decade, God's doing something. And it's not a dying church. And there's much potential there. And don't worry, I'm going to let you sit in just a moment. Verse number 9, he says this, and this is what I wanted to get to tonight. Paul has a prayer for almost every one of the churches that he writes to. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. But we've talked about some of them already. Colossians, Galatia, Ephesians. And at the beginning of his letter, his salutation, he says, here's what I've been praying for you. And as I thought of Faithway Baptist Church, this would be my prayer. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not claiming to be the Apostle Paul. But this would be my prayer for our church. Let's look at it together, verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. You can be seated tonight. Paul's prayer request for the church. Paul's request of God, Lord, if there's anything this church needs, these are the things that they need. And I believe that we could personalize this prayer for our church tonight. I want you to see in verse number 9, he begins by praying for their love. Their love. Notice what it says here. This is amazing. He says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Here's what we know about this. Love is essential to the effectiveness and productivity of a church. This past week, as we were working, I'm telling you, we had people here Wednesday night till 9, 9:30 after the service and working and clearing out the chairs. Then after the program that didn't end until 9 o'clock on Thursday evening, so many folks stayed and cleaned. And by the time that folks started coming back in for things on Saturday morning, there were some folks here yesterday. There was no sign whatsoever that we had a banquet in this room, you know. And that's a testament to the people who love. And as Brother John and I were talking about this, just by virtue of the fact that we work very closely together on this particular event, all events, but for some reason, he and I just, we can read each other's minds. And I want to say a word about Brother Shipp. Someone said this, it's better to have one man working with you than three men working for you. And not only does Brother John work for the church here, but he works with the pastor, and he is such a help to me. I cannot overstate it. I don't believe I can. But by virtue of the fact that we're very aligned, as I am with many of you on this particular event, we were talking about this, and Brother John said this. He said, you know, our church opened up their hearts and lavished hospitality upon our community on Thursday night. People left saying, thank you. And I know we're online right now, and I don't want to give names and things like that and embarrass people across any lines of confidentiality, but we had people in this building on Thursday night that I've been working on for years. And some of you know the effectiveness. It's not just this. I mean, Easter's the next thing coming up. People, I think they said the easiest service to invite people to is Easter Sunday. Let me just warn you. If you invite someone to come with you on Easter Sunday, there's a chance they'll come because people are ready for God. Do you notice that? They're primed. They're primed. But you all opened up your hearts and you loved people. And by your hard work and your service, and yes, even some of the more interesting moments of the night, when I really believe Jesus was in the kitchen breaking bread and fish and multiplying the loaves, if you know what I'm saying. We had more people show up than we thought would come. Again, a sign of the fact that people are ready for something. And the workers, they just, boom, they got on it. They got it done. And I'm sure there was either a lot of praying or the opposite going on, okay? I'm just saying. I mean, it was awesome to watch. And extra tables and chairs being set up. We had a family that someone in our church has been, again, trying to get here for so long, come to the sportsman's banquet, and we had to pull a table out for their whole family. And I walked up to them. I said, you know, usually you come in late to church, you got to sit on the front row. They said, you know that, you're actually right about that, you know. I had a good conversation there. But you loved people, and here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He said, this church loves people, Philippi, they love people. But you know, there's room for more love. When my grandfather stands up and says, oh, one day we're going to be running 400 teenagers, not only do I have a heart attack, we may be tempted to think, well, you know, how's that going to be possible in this facility? I don't know. It may not be. And we may be tempted to think, well, we're not worried about how many people come just as long as we have church. But let me just tell you something. As our capacity for love increases, don't be surprised if God sends us more people to love. And some of those people will not be easy to love. I say that, it's a bit humorous. A young man walked into church this morning, and he just stood there. And looked at me, just like that, in his 20s. I looked at him, and he had his mask on, and so I didn't recognize him, but I looked at him, I said, hey, man, how are you? He was just lasers. And I looked at him, and he pulled his mask down, and I went, how you doing, man? And he gave me a big hug. And I said, man, it's just good to see us. It's been 2 years. And he said, yeah, it's been a long time. I said, what's been going on? He goes, whew. He started telling me a little bit about his life. And Brother Chris, you work with a lot of guys like this. Not pretty. But I said, well, what made you come today? He goes, I came to see you. You know, somewhere along the line, he got the idea I loved him. And I do. And sometimes people don't come along like we want. And we get frustrated and we lose our love. Let's not lose our love for people. A couple things Paul said about this. He said that your love may abound. Here's the thing. They loved people, but that word abound means like super abounding. It means like extravagant, excess, excelling, or increasing abundantly. Not just where we're at now, but where God wants us to be. You know, the only one who can increase your capacity to love is God. And sometimes we use our personalities as an excuse. when we forget, it's not about, God didn't create us necessarily with the personality to love people, not all of us. Don't look around. But God can increase your capacity, lengthen the cords of your tent, expand your horizons. But he also said this, and this is important to know as well. He said that your love may abound yet more and more. Then there's a phrase there, in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, there's a discernment to our love. It doesn't limit our love, it purifies our love. That discernment is this. Paul knew the church must possess love, but he knew that that love had to stand in Christ's truth. And I think we could learn a few things from that, not the least of which today is that we're being taught by the world a superficial, less than genuine kind of love that is affection-based and physical-based and appearance-based and even, I mean, on all sides of the spectrum. But God's love is based on His Word. And the Bible says that our love needs to increase in knowledge and in judgment. Do you know there's some things a Christian can't love? But there is no one that we can't love. And the old saying, hate the sin, love the sinner. You know, we say that. I wish there's a better way to say it, because after we hear it so many times, we don't really get the truth of it. And it's just a way to help us remember. We got to remember the people who come in this church are going to come in with problems. You did. I did. I do. I did. And if you stay at a church for any length of time, you're going to bring varying degree of problems to church with you. So it's not only about the lost, it's about one another, isn't it? So Paul's prayer was first of all for their love. He wanted it to abound, but he wanted it to be pure. And as I said, the word abounding more and more means that the truth, judgment, and knowledge do not limit our love. Second thing, he prayed for their learning. Look at verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Oh, the word approve means the examination of various aspects of life. Do you know we should never grow content with our spiritual condition as it pertains to our sanctification? That means sanctification, God's process of making us more and more like Him as we live, right? As in our daily lives. It's what plays out before everybody else. And the Bible says we need to approve things that are excellent. In other words, it's been 2 months. We're in the third month of the year. That's crazy. Time flies. And maybe there's some things that we started working on and started, again, there's that balance of only Christ, only what Christ can do in our life, but that yieldedness that is required of us. And maybe there's some things we started on, and maybe our prayer lives. That's our theme this year. Maybe our Bible reading and scripture and things like that. I don't know. Maybe it's as basic as that, but then it could be that you've made progress in those areas and you're doing well. Sometimes we kind of just let off the gas a little bit when we've excelled slightly. The Bible says that we need to take close inventory and examine, and we need to approve things which are excellent. Excellent speaks of things that are different and those that make a difference. In essence, Paul is praying that they would approve things that matter. You know, sometimes we do things that are good, but they're not best. Sometimes we emphasize certain things and we get locked into things, and we need to ask God, Lord, not only do we want you to broaden our capacity to serve, we want you to narrow our focus to what you want. I feel like in our Christian lives, many times we go from a shotgun blast to a sniper, right? Shotgun, you want that pattern. You want it to be wide because you say, if I can just get one pellet to hit its mark, that may do all the damage. I'm not thinking of tactical and people. I'm thinking of animals, by the way, right now, okay? Some people are going to be mad at me for that, so I guess it doesn't matter, you know. But, you know, there are other times when a shotgun won't do it. You've got to have laser focus, and you've got to hit the mark. And so we ask God to expand our understanding of things that matter in eternity. Paul desired for them to major on eternal things. Sometimes we engage in things that are good but not best, and God wants us to become more focused. Then in the last part of verse 10, he prays not only for their love, their learning, but also their loyalty. And their loyalty was not to be to Paul. It was to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he says here. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, here's the great thing about this in my study I learned. The word sincere means to be judged by sunlight. You say, well, what does that mean? Pottery. The potters would make different vessels, and the most expensive pottery was thin, and it was completely full, and the consistency of the thickness was consistent all the way around, maybe a bowl or a dish, and it was very, very quality, high quality that people would look for when they would go to the marketplace, because oftentimes the sun would cause things to erode, and the cheaper, less diligent potters would take their pottery after it's dried, because it's put in an oven. And when you put it in the oven, oftentimes, if it wasn't made just right, it would crack. And if it didn't break in the oven, a lot of times they would take wax and they would rub it into the cracks. Then they would paint over it and polish it. And so they got to figure this out. They'd come to the marketplace. I don't have any pottery up here. And they would pick up a bowl and they would find the sun and they'd go. Just like that. And if it was made right and if it was quality, you wouldn't see any cracks. If it was cheap, a knockoff, you could tell because you've exposed it to the sunlight. God's desire for us is that we be sincere, tested by sun, S-O-N, light. That when our lives are held up, we'll never have achieved sinless perfection, but when our lives are held up against the sun, there are no cracks. It's real. Some people serve superficially, with the wrong heart, the wrong reasons. And those cracks always show through. Because a life lived outside of God's empowerment is not sustainable. So he said, stay close to the Lord and make sure your allegiance to him and loyalty to him is true. And Paul said, I want your lives to be sincere and without offense. What does that mean? He desired the church to maintain a positive witness among the world, being found blameless when examined by others. But then lastly, number four, Paul prays not only for their love, not only for their learning, not only for their loyalty. He says, there's some things that I desire for you that would glorify God in your everyday living. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I'm always careful when I see the word righteousness in the text to try to discern by the text what kind of righteousness we're talking about. Are we talking about the righteous living, or are we talking about Christ's imputed righteousness? This one says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, and that righteousness which are, those fruits which are, by Jesus Christ. What God is saying is that by virtue of the fact that Christ is in you and that you are in Christ, and that's Ephesians, we'll get back to that on Wednesday night, but by virtue of the fact that you are one of his children and that you are in Christ and that he is in you, there are certain fruits that should be able to be revealed in your life that only come by Christ's righteousness in your life. Now, here's what we understand. That when I live in surrender to the Lord, I bear fruit. I bear fruit. We know the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. Against such there is no law. And when I realize who I am in Christ and what Christ is in me, my life is fruitful. But Paul didn't pray for them just to be fruitful. He said, I want you to be filled with it. To be filled means a couple things. One, all the way to the top. Every area. But two, it means this. there's no room for anything else. Nothing else. And God wants our lives to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Notice this, which are by Jesus Christ. Here's our focus. Watch this. Unto the glory and praise of God. What does that mean? It means that we're not attracting folks to us. We're not stealing glory from God. Everything I do, God can take it. He can hide it. He can magnify it. God raises up one, puts down another. He can do whatever he wants so long as God gets glory and he is magnified before a lost world and in the church. There's two places God needs a lot of glory at, in God's church and in the lost world. And when God gets glory, you're going to notice supernatural things begin to take place. You're going to notice lives being changed, hearts being stirred, revival. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see? When I think of our church, I think, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Great things he hath done. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And I also think what's been said many times before, our best days are ahead of us. That's not a put down. He would say that. He believes that. I believe that. I believe many of you believe that. Maybe all of us tonight.